You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to the Mindy Molina Show. I'm Mindy Molina, investment advisor representative, licensed insurance agent, and fiduciary. This is a live show, and I'll be here to take your calls at 772-221-1100 with any of your financial concerns. Again, that's 772-221-1100. Good afternoon, friends. This is Mindy Molina, and you are listening to the Mindy Molina Show with my co-host, Frank Borelli. And today, we're going to switch things up a little bit. Frank had the idea that he'd like to interview me, talk about the business, and kind of let him lead the way and allow me, I guess, to sit here and relax and let him do the directing of the show today. And I'm just going to be the guest, which is fun.
Right. So this is the Mindy Molina Show, as Mindy's already said in the this is a live broadcast. You can call into the radio station. We're talking about all things financial. And the Mindy Molina Show has really been based around Mindy Molina Investments and Insurance is the business. And Mindy and I are dual financial advisors there. We have an office here in Stuart, Florida. We meet clients here in Stuart or in their homes over Zoom. They don't even have to be a Florida resident, right, Mindy?
Yeah, that's correct.
And certainly we can help clients who may be passing through. And
absolutely.
So the, you know, the Mindy Molina Show, again, is based off of the business, really.
You
had Mindy Molina Investments in Insurance, and that came into being when? So we're doing a little bit of a profiling of Mindy here and her business, and that's what we're talking about today on the Mindy Molina Show.
Sure. So I started Mindy Molina Investments and Insurance really in 2008. That's when I
2008.
became.
Okay.
That's when I started my journey. Well, okay, let me back up. I started in the industry in 2008, and I started my journey, which in 2011 would have become fully independent.
Okay? Okay.
So from a tax standpoint, I started a business in 2008, but mm-hmm. I wasn't truly independent until 2011. And the name of the company was Complete Retirement Group at that time. Okay. And I rebranded during COVID.
Did
to
you?
Use my name. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was a reason for that, because I had established quite the reputation, and it was really about me as a person and my views individually and what my innovative way
Your
of
approach.
Looking. Yeah, my approach. And I think that people were seeking my name more than they were seeking the name of
the business. Been my experience is that we see clients who are just are familiar with the branding, the name and the branding of the service mm-hmm. that they receive and the quality.
Their reputation.
And
there's a lot of pride in that. I think it took me a while to realize I had a reputation, right? And the more it became prevalent, the more I knew that was a change that I needed to make.
So you were born and raised a farm girl in Indiana.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Hard worker.
Hard working.
Yeah. We had a farm. Initially, when I was born, it was a dairy farm. So, but then there was a really bad blizzard up north, and a lot of the cows died, unfortunately, during that time. So it was really difficult for my parents, and they were very young. My dad inherited the farm at 19 years old, essentially, and had to run everything, he and my mom. And he still has that farm that was belonged to his mom and dad. So then we went on to sheep. So after the dairy farm, we had sheep.
Okay.
And my mom sheared sheep. And
then, did you ever share sheep there, Mindy?
No, I wasn't big enough.
No sharing
at that time.
Okay.
But then I had goats. So my job on the farm was to take care of the goats.
Milk
goats every morning, every night.
Goats milk.
This to me is not really actually work. And then we did farming. We raised tobacco. And that was a lot of work.
This is in between school?
Yeah, before and after school. So I would get up at 4 a.m. I would go out to the barn alone. And I was the same age as my son now in fifth grade. And I would go out there. Mm-hmm. And milk goats in the dark, stumble back
so
in.
So did you continue working on the farm when you were in high school?
All through high school, yeah. And yeah. even in college a little bit, but really once I went to college, my dad started leasing out the ground more.
Kentucky, I believe you said you went.
Yeah, I went to college in Kentucky.
University, college?
I went to Northern Kentucky University, which is actually pretty much right near Cincinnati.
There?
It's near the Greater Cincinnati Airport. Yes, it is still there, and it has grown so much.
Northern Kentucky University?
Northern Kentucky University.
Did you switch majors?
Yeah, that's right.
Most students do.
Being a farm girl, I was going to either be an attorney or a vet. I wanted to be a large animal vet. And then I job shadowed for a lawyer, and I thought, it was boring. No offense to
during college, your college years.
Yes, yeah. My freshman year, and I just didn't get into it. Maybe I don't even remember what type of law she was practicing.
Huh?
Yeah, and then with the veterinary office that I worked at, it was just maybe a little too dirty. I wanted I wanted to dress up. I'm like, oh, I'd rather do something where I can dress up. So that was my life choice.
Now I think we could both agree that. A part of the journey that you've been on to mm-hmm. become a financial advisor, dual licensed here in Stuart, Florida, has also been a part of your spiritual journey. It's like, you know, the whole idea of having a secular life or something is completely foreign to really the word of God. Like, we are not, like, your life is a vocation, and
right.
it's all of our life is to honor and glorify God.
Yes.
And so to think about, well, you know, I go to church, and then after I go to church, it's like I'm a different person or something like that. That's not biblical Christianity.
Right.
Or the life that, and so the point that I'm making is, right, you were coming up as we talked about all these things, but God was in your life moving.
Yes.
And I think you
explained He had a plan for me.
In your teenage years or so, you were.
Yeah, I was always a Christian, you know, I was brought up in the church. So. But what I will say, going off of what you just said, in this, like, I didn't go to school or wake up one day and say, oh, I think I'll be a financial advisor. That was never on
right.
my to-do list or on my goal list, right?
It was
never
part of... I don't think it was on mine either.
Right? But in the moment that I did go out, I decided I'm going to be independent. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to create something that I think is best.
And we're going to get to why.
Yes.
I think because you've really shared with me and other clients.
In that moment, I knew, I didn't know how, but I knew that it would be faith-based. And I got the book, Business by the Book,
Business by the Book.
Yeah. And the main message that I got from that book is that you have to serve people.
And it was a faith-based book?
It's a faith-based book. But if you're going to run your business the way, you know, Jesus served the people, right? So
Amen.
It's about that. And so that has been the underlying, I guess, mission or foundation of me starting a business. And I would say that is like the groundbreaking foundation, like, that was the first thing I did, was read that book and get that mindset. And I've kept mm-hmm. that mindset. I think you could attest to that. You see when we're in the room with people, with families talking about.
Yeah. It's not like we're pushing Christ on anyone either.
How can we help them?
Or the Lord, right.
How can I serve you? How can I help you?
That's right. I'm not sure I could find that. I have 1 Timothy here. Maybe while I'm talking to you, want to look for it?
No. Go ahead. You can read it.
I'm not sure I find the right verse.
Oh.
We were going to share a verse.
We were going to share a verse. It was a verse that was sent to me today. I'm on a thread where I get a new verse every day, and it's always good. And the Lord speaks to me often about that. But this verse was in 1 Thessalonians. Did you find it, Frank?
No,
I know.
I didn't find it.
It's on my phone, and we're using my phone for the Facebook Live. But it was about, you know, having hope in the Lord, having your labor of love you have, and it really resonated with me about my business. I said, oh, this is for sure me in my walk, in my journey with my company has been that labor of love and keeping the faith and knowing that. And I think it was just a reminder to me that God is with me in this journey, and He wants me to keep the faith, and He wants me to continue to do this labor of love and to not lose hope. over that time, because anyone who's listening who's a business owner knows there are trying times. Today, particularly because I got this verse, to what my feelings were attached to was a compliance officer sent me a nasty email about how my website needed to have this and this and this, and you know, they just rip you apart unnecessarily. So it was a little.
It was very personal.
It was like an attack. It wasn't like very professional. So I was a little aggravated. And then, of course, I get this verse. And it's like God just telling me, don't get tripped up. You're where you're supposed to do. You're doing the work I had planned for you. So, no, I'm not an attorney. I'm not a veterinarian. I'm not a supermodel or a famous singer. I'm a financial advisor.
Right. We'll get more to the backstory on how that developed. Mindy shared a verse. And I'd been reading in, I think it's related, in John 16, 17. This is all known as the Upper Room Discourse. It's one of the longest discourses of Jesus. And many would say it's for believers only in that section. And anyway, he's talking the idea where Jesus at the Last Supper, at the Lord's Supper there, takes off his outer robe and washes the disciples' feet. This was a task of a servant at the time. And he says this is an example. That he came to serve the Lord of heaven, the King of glory, creator of the universe, Amen. Who put on human flesh and came to this earth. This is what we believe. This is the Christian gospel, and he wants to serve us. And, you know, he has a meek and a humble, lowly heart, he says, as well.
Yes.
Just an awesome thing to think about for me. I don't know about you.
It is. And, you know, we were talking earlier about the about how vulnerable people feel when they sit with us in a meeting, talking, really disclosing all their financial information, talking about things that we typically keep very private and under wraps, and everything is very secretive between you and your spouse. And now you're sitting with these two strangers and pouring your heart out and passing statements out. And I believe that our humble hearts, not just me, but Frank as well, it really helps people feel and know comfort when they're meeting with us.
The situation. Yeah, right. And that was one of the things we were trying to, I think, should accomplish today in our program is that, look, it's a very, very difficult thing to come to terms with, hey, you know, maybe I should really seek some financial advice about where I'm going with my retirement planning and how that all is going to turn out. And, you know, the fact that how much do we charge for our planning sessions?
Nothing.
Yeah, there's no charge for our planning sessions. We sit with clients for weeks, months at times, and we're not receiving any compensation.
Usually in the first meeting, it's gathering all of the information, asking each other questions. And really then doing some homework. And in that by that second meeting, we've put together solid plans, solid ideas and concepts typically that are going to help you see for yourself the possibilities. And that's where I enjoy things the most.
And this is what we do. I mean, it's not, you know, the tools that we use, they're not that different for the clients, right? They're, you know, insurance products, they're investment products, they're, you know, income plans, you know, expense plans.
Right. But it's not something that you can go and get somewhere else. Why is it when people come and sit with us that they seem so shocked? Like, wow.
Yeah. Right. Right. Because they just haven't made or taken the time, or no one else has sat down with them and
really laid
the different
out
aspects.
That experience the way that we do it. It makes it very easy to understand, but also it's the only way that you can do what we do is to have a business structure like I've built.
Right. And we're going to talk about that structure. Yes. So folks will understand. Now, should we open in prayer? Would you like to pray or would you like me to pray?
You go ahead.
Okay. Mighty God in heaven, Lord, you are sovereign of the universe. Lord, there is none before you. And Lord, in these crazy times that we're living in, and we see such things that we are just completely amazed about that are going on in some of our states and some of our communities, and what people, adults, are doing to children and for children, Lord, it's so sad and breaks our hearts, Lord, and we know it must break your heart, Lord. And we just pray and ask, Lord, that you would be with our listening audience, be with Mindy and I today, Lord, as we talk about financial things and about business and helping families come up with great retirement plans for their futures. And we know You want us, Lord, to be in the center of your will, and help us to be there. We ask for your help and leadership today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so you went off to college in Kentucky. Then you, you know, didn't end up being a vet, didn't end up being a lawyer.
No.
And so you got, what's your degree in?
Marketing and finance.
Marketing and finance. Okay, and so you took your first job, was in the financial industry coming out of college?
HSBC. My first job out of college was HSBC Bank, household finance. And then
household
I
was finance.
Promoted in the Cincinnati area, and then was relocated to Lexington, Kentucky, where
I... Like home loans or bank loans or household finance?
Yes, yeah, so this was part of the... what is it? The subprime lending bubble that happened. Yeah. So as, 20 girl in her 20s, I was managing this branch. And we did take it from $30 million to $60 million when I left.
Yay.
And it was I was the district manager. I was in line to be promoted as regional manager, but I needed to go to more like Pittsburgh area. And I was also running their insurance side for my territory, and a training and hiring manager. So I had all of these.
So you had a big financial
labels.
Background there.
By 26, I was really well decorated in the corporate world. However, my common sense, mathematic mind that I have told me this is not right. This is not making sense. You shouldn't be a person in
the subprime lending. Right.
A family should not be consolidating credit card debt every year or two in the amounts of $20,000, $30,000, and then rolling it into the equity of their double wide trailer, thinking that it's never going to end. There was going to be this idea of this balloon kind of pop bubble,
okay,
as they called it.
And you certainly got to experience that firsthand, right?
Yes, I
did.
So
this is a live program. You're listening to the Mindy Molina Show. You can call into the radio station, ask any questions, or tell us a story about anything financial you'd like to share. 772-221-1100, 772-221-1100. And you could find Mindy Molina Investments and Insurance. That's the business that we're in, dual licensed at MindyMolina.com. So, HSBC running a bank manager?
No, HSBC owned the department that I was in.
Department, okay. So, yeah. Department lead manager.
But during 08, so when I came to Florida in 2007, I was headhunted by a company here, and they hired me away from that company. And one of the reasons I took that position, one, Florida sounded a lot better than Pittsburgh, but two.
This is right before the burst.
Yes, it was right before the burst, and I felt like I was running from what I thought was going to be a problem, and I was right. The only unfortunate thing was that I thought Florida would be a safe space, which it was, and it brought me into ultimately the life I'm living now. But it was not good. I think Kentucky, Michigan, Florida were probably some of the hardest hit states in terms of real estate and finance for mortgages and so on. So right away, I started looking for a new industry to go into.
And that led you
to? And that led me to, at that time in 2008, my grandmother was diagnosed with cancer, and her and I were very, very close. And she needed long-term care. She needed a lot of obvious big medical bills, but she had Medicare and a Medicare supplement, which I learned a lot about that year. I learned a lot about long-term care and Medicare and what it means to care for somebody that you love. And then also the heartache that goes along with that. So it was a really big year for me. And when I came to Bankers Life and Casualty, this is what they specialized in. So it was kind of like God was setting me up right after I had went through this experience. My grandmother passed away in April. In September, I was licensed and ready to move into that industry that I was a little bit experienced with. I just had firsthand
experience. Yeah.
And the other reason was I've always loved finances. I've always been in the financial sector. And I think it's been amazing the journey that God's taken me on, because I've had experience in so many different facets of a whole financial walk. I was even in college, I worked for car dealers. running the desk, the finance for that. So from lending, from buying cars and knowing the emotional experience and how people get taken advantage of.
Right.
And then also in the mortgage industry, how people get taken advantage of, how people can get themselves into trouble. Right. Budgeting, understanding all of that. It's just
what I
do.
Really appreciate about our slow process with clients. You know, it's never a sale, never about the sale.
No.
Or
I just don't think a person calls themselves a financial advisor if you're not there to give advice, and instead you're there to sell financial products. So I'm against that.
So you in 2008, you're selling Medicare here in Florida.
I was helping clients, I got licensed
helping
to be
elderly people getting ready to turn 65 with coming up with a Medicare Advantage plan or.
Yeah, I did. I did offer Medicare, but I would say I became more of a long-term care specialist with Medicare, and then helping families plan for that was kind of a transition that I gravitated more towards than just Medicare. Medicare is very transactional. It's easy.
Yeah.
But I would always go deeper in relationship with my clients and help them with all of these other things, including their investment planning. Even though at that time I was not technically a financial advisor, they were asking me for help.
Right.
So that was my first experience, was really helping my clients with their investments.
Right, and navigate a difficult insurance world. And then
why? Because their financial advisor wouldn't answer the phone or would constantly just tell them,
because the markets
you're
are turning
fine.
Down.
Yeah,
this was we were one quarter off of it being another depression. It's called the Great Recession, right? We're just almost equated to a depression where markets are down 30% and 40%, and people are losing huge portions of their portfolios. And you're sitting with these clients. This is how,
right? And they were going through very, very difficult times, and it was for someone who has a bleeding heart like me to go into a home and
compassionate.
Heart. Isn't that a saying?
Yeah.
Bleeding heart.
Bleeding heart. No, it is. Of course it is. I'm just
if you have a heart for people like I do, and you do want to serve, you're not going to just walk away and leave these people stressed beyond belief and not knowing who to turn to. I'm way more vibrant, have way more energy and tenacity than someone more than likely in their 70s trying to deal with these burdens.
So some of the frustration, you're seeing frustrations in the industry while you're sitting. Right? You had some frustrations.
Through the eyes and the perception of the actual clients.
Right. And some of those frustrations would be lack of product diversity.
Yeah. It was just more of like customer care, really. You know, at the end of the day, the market's going to do what the market's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
The lack of planning, that proper planning,
proper planning.
The lack of compassion and actual treating people like people and not treating them like clients more so. So, for example, you know, in 2008, when times are really bad, that's not the time to not answer your phone, right? That's not the time to ignore people, because a simple phone call that would say, Frank, it's going to be okay. This too shall pass. We're going to get through this together.
Mm-hmm.
Gives people peace.
Right.
But to not answer?
Yeah. So
it's very tough.
Right. And this is the thing. And so what you're talking about is a holistic approach to financial planning, not just coming in and capturing one sale for this commission or that commission, which we don't do.
Right.
And so this is a problem in the financial world.
I started to identify areas that needed I started to create my own strategy unknowingly.
Right.
So just out of helping other people that maybe had Medicare business with me, or maybe they had long-term care insurance policies with me or life insurance, whatever I was helping them with through Bankers Life and Casualty, my business started to evolve into other things because they knew they could trust me or count on
Bankers.
Me to help them, the clients.
No, the clients.
People who are my clients now.
Yeah.
So those relationships and started to develop, and it wasn't long that I realized, you know, I needed to be able to do more for them. But what I was doing was trying to manage it through their current financial advisor, because it wasn't an industry I wanted to be involved in. I didn't want to sell securities to make money. That's not what I wanted to do.
Right. And so at this time you had the 215 in Florida, the 215 health life. Annuity license?
So the insurance license. And then when I decided, because of a particular case that I was helping a lady with, she was going to run out of money. It was simple math, Frank. It's like, this is how much you have in expenses. These are, how much money you have.
Mm-hmm.
This is how much you're spending every month. This, and I'm watching your account value go down, and my client too. Well, what can we do about it? Here's a list of questions. Go in, sit with your advisor, ask them all of these things. And so the response was, you're going to be fine. Once this account drains, we're going to start using this account. That was literally the strategy.
The strategy, okay.
And I'm like, that's insane. Can't have possibly said that. That's why I got licensed. So I went immediately. I said, I'm going to get licensed. This can't be
the 65
way people get treated. So I got licensed, yes, with the 65.
Investment advisor representatives.
Yes.
These are the two licenses.
Why wouldn't I get the 7?
Why wouldn't you? My understanding, and you've explained this before, is it leaves on the table the ability for you or me, if I had it as well, to sell a product,
a product. It's a license to sell
a product.
Securities. And I didn't want to be a salesman.
Right.
I wanted to serve. And I don't think I'm either as a salesman, I think, yes, obviously there's situations where it's a win-win for everybody. But as an advisor, what I wanted to provide was advice for my clients. I wanted to provide advice, and I wanted to collect an income based on that advice. Now, that being said, with a 65, it allows you to be an investment advisor. We're not licensed to sell things. We're only licensed to provide advice. So that's why I chose that route.
And so just to make sure people understand that once we're providing that advice, and then we're setting them up with their investment portfolio with wealth management teams, who their profession is to monitor, to be active, tactically managing investments.
And that's all they do.
That's all. They're a whole team of wealth management experts that are watching the markets.
I think it's important that you are not I didn't want to be what I call a DIY advisor.
Yeah.
I wanted my clients to know that the person that is actually buying and selling and making the trades and making those choices, that's all they do. There are no distractions.
Right.
They're not
on
the radio.
On the phone or having a meeting with Frank.
These meetings, there's
clients.
A lot of service work that goes into our business that we need to provide. And if you're doing that, who's actually managing the money? Who's managing compliance? Who's managing marketing? Who's running HR? Who's doing all these things?
Yeah, so you picked up the 65 license, but this was before you had. Did you figure this out all on your own, or was somebody mentoring you in that area, or was this one of the clients?
Yes, no, there was no mentoring when I was figuring this out. Actually, that was a frustrating thing, because if you want to work for an institution, then they want you to get the 7. Why? Because they want you to sell securities
because they make money, right?
So I always felt like, well, that's what I'm supposed to do, because that was the advice I kept getting. But I also felt like I needed to get the 65, because to me, that's what made sense.
The advice.
And so I was very torn. And finally, one person laid it out for me in a way that I could understand. And at the end of the day, the decision was, do you want to make the most money, or do you want to build the business that you think is right? And I chose
Build the business
that I think is right.
Right. So, and this goes along with the term fiduciary.
Yes.
Especially.
But
right?
I think that word gets used way too much. People don't.
Basically,
people shouldn't be able to call themselves a fiduciary. A lot of people, if the fiduciary standard was Mindy's standard of a fiduciary, there would be a lot of people that would not be allowed to call themselves a fiduciary.
Right. So simply stated, though, it's in the client's best interest. We only do what's in the – that's a very simple definition,
yes.
Right?
Some people are held under a suitability. It's like, well, was it suitable? Sure.
Yeah.
We're not held under that. We're held under the fiduciary standard, which is different.
Right.
Which is better.
So you did a lot of research, spoke to some folks, figured out you needed this 65 license while you were still with the 215. And
yeah, so I got my 65 while I was pregnant with my son.
And you were working with clients that you were seeing their nest eggs deteriorating, getting this one client who had terrible advice from a financial advisor.
My clients supported my endeavor. They were As soon as you're licensed and set up, we're moving all of our assets to you.
Awesome.
So cool. If it hadn't been for them, I don't know if I would have taking that leap. But, you know, like I said, it was God's plan, because how many advisors can say that? Right. So I had this really team of people backing me, believing in me.
Let me see if I understand the situation. You might have gotten a little bit of trouble with the people who had, because your appointments were lasting so long.
Right.
Because you were really getting to know your clients and trying to figure out how to help them.
And that's
you were building a relationship.
That's when I think, so I did have one client who was in the industry on the insurance side, and he coached me a little bit and really encouraged me and was, I would definitely call him a mentor and for sure a confidence help. Like, he helped me believe in me and what I could do. And he was right.
So I think the model that I could put together, I think, so you created the business, and the business today is Mindy Molina Investments in Insurance. And you're listening to the Mindy Molina Show. It's a live broadcast here on WCNO. You're listening to us. You can call in with questions or stories you'd like to share about anything financial at 772-221-1100, 772-221-1100. You can book appointments with Mindy and I at MindyMolina.com. You can do some research and find us at MindyMolina.com, YouTube, Twitter, and on WCNO. Listen to some of our broadcasts there or from YouTube. All our consultations with clients are absolutely free. And so talking about this business model and how Mindy got started in the financial industry as a dual-licensed financial advisor. And Mindy, you know, you've mentioned to me before that you know quite a few of the other financial advisors in town. How many of them are you aware of around here that are dual-licensed?
Ooh. I'm trying to think of one.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure there are.
Not that many.
I don't know.
Yeah, you don't question
them.
That's okay. So I want to talk about the model. And I thought of myself as a pretty savvy investor and steward of the resources that God had given my family and I. And, I remember the meeting that you came and, I really was really pretty what I liked was the downside protection in markets, trending analysis, where I heard you talk about that, and I thought it was a really good idea where you can have a portfolio be protected on the downside risk from these wealth managers, these experts that are looking at the trends and pulling you out and then, getting you back in as it comes about. I was like, man, then I wouldn't have to do that,
right.
Try and figure that out. Cause that's,
and it wouldn't be when you do it, it's based on emotion or news or information.
Yeah.
And there, this trending analysis is all mathematical.
Right.
And you know that I love
so
math.
That's why you came and, you came and sat and met my wife and I, and, we did, move some of our assets to, this, type of strategy.
Yep.
And, that she had the dual license. And I thought that was very interesting. So I think independent fiduciary financial advisor, dual license. And that's the business. That's really what we're doing, if I understand correctly, right? Independent fiduciary financial advisor, dual license. But each of those words really mean something.
No, they pack a big punch.
Right. Independent. One, let's talk about that. So we're completely independent. There is no...
The reason I wanted to be independent is because this is the way for me to work for my clients and not an institution. So at the end of the day, who's my boss? Who bosses me?
Mindy.
No.
Jesus?
Well, yes, but think about it. The only person that can fire me...
Oh, it's the client.
It's my client.
Yes, okay. Right.
Okay?
Yes, yes.
And if I don't make them happy and put their needs first and serve them, then that's how I lose my job.
There's no manager, no bank president.
With an institution, you have sales goals, you have Monday meetings, you have propaganda, you've got red tape, you have all these things coming down the pipe.
Independent.
That you are held accountable to.
Yeah.
So whether your client needs it or not, you may have to push it. You may have to make that call. And I just don't want – that's not what being an advisor to me – it wouldn't be worth it. I'd rather just be in a different industry.
And I really appreciate that as well. And this is, you know, these are some of the reasons why, you know, I've been being mentored by Mindy in the financial industry. I was a military professional. I did 30 years in the United States military. I was an aviator. And
I can't believe you're still around.
Still around,
no,
working with you.
Yeah.
So she's been learning me the business and just the motto of really helping folks. And it's very rewarding. And I appreciate her efforts. I appreciate her business and her patience. And we really feel like we're, I think, turning the corners and been helping quite a few folks. And it's very rewarding to sit with these folks. And this is why I thought it would be important to share with our listening audience, you know, what it's like to come sit with us.
Yeah.
And so this is what we're talking about, independent. And then fiduciary, we covered,
right?
You know, that word, but it's an important word. And we share these words when we sit with our clients as well.
Right. And you know, you're probably going to go into fee only and fiduciary fee only. One of the things that why those two, I can almost combine them in this explanation, is that being a fiduciary means that we need to be on your side. Like you, there shouldn't be a conflict of interest where we can make money even when you're losing money. And so we've done everything we can to eliminate that possibility by this fee only structure, saying that under our management side, investment side, we don't collect commissions on any of the investments that we are recommending. Rather, we just have a fee, and that fee is the same no matter what investments you're in. But at the end of the day, if it's a percentage of your overall account value, if your account value blows up and doubles, well, so did our income. But if there's
a
market crash and we don't get you out in time and now it's cut in half, so is our income.
Yeah, it's our
we
pay.
Feel the wins together. We feel the losses together. And that's what I think being a fiduciary is in conjunction with being fee only.
Right. That's the and then so the other words were financial advisor, which this is what we're talking about. Of course, that's the whole subject. But dual license. And so you talked about the 65 license on the investment side, how that's fee only. But on the insurance side, you know, we offer the array of the insurance industry.
Yep.
And that works differently for as far as the client and fees.
So why do we need to have – why should – and is it a requirement for me that you're duly licensed? Because when a client comes in, when we're talking about the retirement space, we just had this happen. A lady comes in. She's retiring from FP&L.
FP&L, yeah.
They're offering her a pension.
Yep.
And it's a great pension. Or she can take the lump sum.
Take the lump sum,
actual cash value of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that pension, if she selects the pension, and just for round numbers, okay, let's say that pension is $1,000 a month and the cash value is $200,000. So she has an option. She can take that $1,000 a month and get that for the rest of her life with no cash value, or she can take the $200,000 and spend it as she sees fit.
But there's a couple other twists in that, if I remember correctly, right? It would be she could take a reduced amount that would leave for a beneficiary for...
So that's spousal continuation, yes. So you can take, just with a pension, you have the ability usually to take a reduced amount so that it's joint. So my point is that if I don't have an insurance license, there is a huge opportunity for her that she would not know about, that she would not be taught about,
right,
and she would not have the ability to take advantage of because of my limitations.
Right. If you were a financial advisor, right, that didn't have a license to help her understand and even purchase, if necessary, an annuity or a life contract that would include things that would not be available in her pension. Like
in this scenario.
Yes.
The reason that it's so important in this story is because if I was just a license for securities license advisor and not also an insurance advisor, I would not have been able to offer to her, listen, instead of you taking the $1,000 a month in your pension, which that's what most people do, let's take the lump sum, create your own pension, and give you more money. It's actually more. So let's say $1,200 a month and keep access to the $2,000, $200,000. So now you're not giving up the cash value in order to get a pension. Instead, you're keeping your cash value.
Right, 'cause once that pension,
and you're creating your own pension off of it. That's also guaranteed for the rest of your life. That also can have these
living
joint
benefits. Yeah.
these joint options for the income
for your spouse as well.
And as Frank is saying, living benefits. Not only would you still get a higher monthly guaranteed lifetime income, possibly, but you could, that would also double in the event that you need long-term care. Now,
with some specific product.
Common sense. You don't have to be a financial guru to know that's a better deal.
I can get definitely more benefits, more money.
However, the sad thing is that the majority or a large part, I don't know statistically, but a lot of financial advisors will never even have that discussion, like, because they probably don't even know it's an option because they know nothing about insurance.
Right. Or yeah,
and annuities.
Annuities products.
They just
yeah.
know annuities are bad.
Yeah. There's some other. But so these. So if you're in the listening audience and you have a Florida FRS, these are same.
Same
we can
deal.
Help. We help folks that are in FRS.
Right.
Or
police officers. Teachers. A lot of people that work for big corporations that offer a pension. Yeah. You need to know about this option. And by the way, you need to work with an advisor that's duly licensed. Right. If you have these options in your portfolio and your financial advisor doesn't have an insurance license, get yourself another financial advisor.
Yeah. How can you sit with someone? This is, again, why I was appealing to me. I've always enjoyed the financial space, as I said, but, you know, I'm grateful to be working with Mindy as a financial advisor. How can you sit with families and talk about their finances when you can't even discuss or not unwilling to discuss,
well,
you know,
or an offer,
but financial or insurance products. And there's
the problem that I think, and I talk about this in the course that I'm building for retirement, for people who are going into retirement, is this: when it comes to retiring, things are different. Finances are different. Taxes are different. Investments are different. There are more options available to you that you don't know about. And to piggyback on what you just said, Frank, how can a financial advisor sit with a family and not tell them these things?
Right.
Why? Because they don't know.
They don't know. Right? Or
they don't know. Yeah. They don't know that that's even an option.
Or they start into a subject that they won't be prepared to.
Did you know before we met?
This is what I'm saying is that, like, I told you, I would stare way of far from annuities. Don't even say that word around me.
Right.
And I've really learned it. It is a tool.
It's a valuable tool used in the right situation.
Right.
It's not for everybody.
Have a balanced portfolio. And one of the reasons why annuity products are successful in balancing a well-diversified portfolio, Mindy, is, right, the sequence of returns, right?
Yes.
If you don't have fixed money, a portion of your portfolio out of the market, then if all of your money is in the market, then all of your money's going where when the market goes down?
Down. Most likely. So the thing
sequence
about the market.
Sequence of returns in annuities in a portfolio for retirement.
We all want to earn the most that we can out of the market. And we all want to be that person that bought that one stock. I mean, come on, I do too, right? I do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'm usually that person that bought that one stock. It's okay, depending on how you say it. No, we all like to, not all of us, but, you know, for some of us, buying into the market and taking some risk and stuff, it is fun. And we feel like we got that edge or we got that inside information and it's very alluring. And then, or we're just with this one advisor or this one institution, whoever it is,
they know what they're doing.
Yeah, and you set it and forget it, and you don't pay any attention to it. Yeah. But at the end of the day, the market is going to do what the market's going to do. And we have some of the most amazing wealth managers, tactical managers, that really, really put their heart and soul into being the best. But it's still, no one knows what's happening tomorrow. And trades are happening faster. The market's moving even faster. There is risk involved with being in the market, no matter who is managing that money, including me. And if you don't have the right, what sets my
practice
apart is that I don't just focus on the market because I understand that I'm not the best. I'm not capable of doing miraculous things. The Lord is. But at the end of the day, there's only so much risk that a person should take when they're in retirement. And we have to allocate the money in a strategy in a way to protect from sequence of risk or sequence of return, market downturns, healthcare, taxes, these 401ks, you have these big tax liens on them. Okay, but let's focus on sequence of returns, because this is a real game changer for people that we rarely hear about.
Yep.
One of the reasons I think most people don't hear about it.
It's very eye-opening.
Is because advisors don't know how to protect you against it, so why bother? They don't know how to protect you about of these things. Sequence of returns is as simple as this. Once you get into retirement, you are entering a new phase of investing. Before, you were in the accumulation phase of life. You're accumulating. Yep. You're saving. You're building that nest egg.
Building
now
nest egg.
You're moving into the distribution phase of life. Now you're taking money from it. Instead of contributing to these accounts and adding money to those accounts, now you are being forced to take money from them. Why? Because you are not going to have a job, but the lights still have to come on. You're still going to want Wi-Fi or gas or food and all these other things.
Your expenses. Yeah.
Your expenses are not going away, even though your paycheck is. So if we rely solely on the market and the market goes down, especially in those early years of retirement, what can happen is once you retire, if you retired in 2013, good for you. The market worked in your favor.
Right.
If you retired in 2006, I'm very sorry. You may have had to go back to work. Because of sequence of returns. If you were withdrawing and what you were what happened is if you, in 2008, you had to sell securities at an all-time low. And in order to meet your income needs, you had to sell much more of the securities.
The percentage, right? So your percentage is higher.
You're just
at a smaller
liquidating
amount.
Multitudes of funds or stocks because you have to still pay your bills.
Right.
And then when the market came back, you had sold off a lot of your positions at a very low price. And so now it didn't come back to what it was.
Right. And this is where insurance companies provide these personal pensions. It's called an annuity. And they guarantee returns, right?
So
and
the what principle... we do, one of the strategies that we use to offset that is what I like to say is, you know, you want to shore up your income. So let's say you have a $4 million portfolio. And out of that $4 million, it's going to take $1 million to allocate toward providing you an income for the rest of your life. So now you have that income. And no matter what happens in the market, your income is safe. It's not affected by the market because you have separated the portion of your overall portfolio that you need in order to shore up your income.
Shoring up your income.
Guarantee it for the rest of your life, which
not
means...
not putting all your eggs in one basket.
It's not putting all of your eggs in one basket. It's saying, hey, I don't want my income to be based on how the market performs. Because if the market is down 1 year, I don't want to touch it. The best thing that you can do if the market is down is, well, buy more. But if you can't do that... leave it alone and let it come back, okay? But if you start liquidating and selling off when it's really low because you have to have income, that's how your retirement plan can blow up. That's why we shore up the income.
That's how you run out of money.
So what Frank is talking about is shoring up the income, creating your own pension where you still have access to the cash value, and that paycheck is coming in every single month for the rest of your life along with your Social Security. And as long as you keep getting those checks, you're golden. The money keeps coming in. And meanwhile, you can take more chances with your investments because your lifestyle is not attached to them.
And these products, these annuities also have the long-term care benefits that we mentioned earlier. But there's living benefits in these annuities and some of the annuity products when they're designed correctly and you shop the markets. We shop the markets. We're not tied to any. We're shopping the markets for the very best companies at the very best rates with the very best benefits
for our clients. So one thing I want to interject here is that why if I worked for such and such institution or this institution or that institution, and I've interviewed at some of these places, names that you all know, is that you can't do what I just talked about. You can't offer it.
Right.
So that's why I have the strategy that I have. That is what sets us apart. This is a process and a planning strategy that you're going to have a very difficult time finding anywhere else.
Right. So in this model that you've created, and we're talking about this distribution plan in retirement and making a safety net for them so that their portfolio is diversified, not putting all their eggs in one basket.
Right.
And the...
So the model that I've created is really giving people three different scenarios at least, showing them three different retirement strategies at a minimum to help them understand how to get from where they are today of having stuff scattered everywhere, whether it's properties, 401ks, IRAs, Roth IRAs, investment accounts, brokerage accounts, creating an actual calculated, organized plan that is going to get you or take everything that you have now and what you're planning to accumulate over the years until you retire and saying, okay, here's how, here's where we are. Here's what we're going to do with it in order to help you retire on this date.
Which we include, you know, in this analysis and what we're using to help our clients is we illustrate to them using proprietary retirement software, right? They can include
our retirement analyzer, it's called.
And the, you know, Social Security benefit, which we've spent a lot of time talking about the last couple of episodes.
Yes.
But that's an important factor in
it's
the retirement planning. And because one of the good things about the Social Security benefit, which many portions of most folks' portfolios don't do, is they inflate. Social Security will have inflation protections.
Which
was a big one this past year because they hadn't seen – there hadn't been much inflation adjustments in Social Security in the past because inflation was so under control when the interest rates were at zero.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and so Social Security is a big part of
– when to take it.
When to take it, when to retire.
And this is what, you know, we've sat with clients and helped them realize, you know, people are thinking about, oh, they need to wait till they get their max. But if they really, we help them really crunch the numbers to really look at, you know, the quality of life and do they really have to work three or four or five more years when if they crunch the numbers and we look at it, that potentially they can retire at an earlier age.
Frank, there's so many software
tools
out there. And there's a reason why I chose or that I choose to use the retirement analyzer. And it's not, I don't think it's as flashy as some of them that that I've seen. But the one thing that I love about it is that the visual of seeing how your numbers play out is that it's a very, very clear, simple understanding.
Illustration.
And people that have worked with me, no, I like my clients to understand what's going on. I don't like smoking mirrors and confusion and just trust me, this will be fine. That's not my way. I want them to have a clear understanding. So for me, I want to use tools like Retirement Analyzer that is going to help them understand what is going on and why and how. Why are we going to do this? Because this is how we are going to retire. What would happen if I retired at 62? Let me show you. What would happen if I retired at 67? Let me show you. What if I retired and he doesn't? Let me show you. It becomes so easy, right?
And this is what we illustrate to our clients. And yeah, it is a very great, it's a great tool.
Great tool. And I've been using that tool since 2009.
Yeah.
And I've been introduced to a lot of different programs.
It's effective.
And the reason I use it is, not because of me, I can figure this stuff out on a steno pad or piece of paper. Yeah. But for my clients, this really brings it home for them, and it helps them feel in control finally, peace of mind. You tell me what it's like. Let me reverse the role here. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question. When you're sitting with people, when we are sitting with people, and we go through and they see their plan coming together, and you see it click, they're like, I get it, right?
Yep.
How... I think emotionally, how would you explain their feelings? Like,
yeah, we just
we've
just sat with multiple clients where you know they have just such a relief, peace. They're grateful. You know, we help explain it in terms too that they can understand and make sure that they understand what it is we're explaining. And it does. It really does.
There ever been a time when someone was overwhelmed or it was too complicated for them to comprehend?
I think there was one meeting where we gave so much information. Then they came back another time. We re-explained, and everything clicked for them at the second meeting.
The second, yeah. The biggest thing is that it's not so complex that the average person can't understand
it. Yeah.
You don't have to be a financial expert to understand the planning that we do for you. We make sure we take the complexity out, make it simple, make sure you understand.
So, yeah, a couple of things as we're getting close to wrapping up the program here in a few minutes or so. One is, to talk about, you know, since we mentioned that we're independent, you know, not a big box, but we do have a lot of people behind the scenes that are making sure that the products and services that we're providing to our clients.
There's a corporate structure, for
so
sure.
So speak to that a bit.
Yes. So, you know, in this industry, it's highly regulated. You can't, although there are people out there that have not been legal and not done the right thing. So for certain, checking, whether it's for me or any advisor that you're working with, you always want to do your due diligence on that person, because there are a lot of people that are fake, that just lie
or
dishonest,
right? You can look
them
up on the SEC, right? I look up our license.
Yeah. So the way that we're licensed and then structured is that we're independent through an RIA called Aegis Wealth Management. So everything that we do, our back office is through Aegis Wealth Management on the investment side. So on the investment side, any of the money that we have in the market is regulated through that umbrella of Aegis. And that's what they do. They handle all the compliance. They handle the SEC. They handle all the trading. We use Geo Wealth as a platform. Charles Schwab is our custodian. Mm-hmm. Which means that your money is not housed at our firm. Why? Yeah. Because that's how Madoff.
We don't take custody.
Yeah. We don't take custody of money. That's how Bernie Madoff made off with the money, because he didn't have a custodian. So your money is held at Charles Schwab, and then you're giving our team through Aegis Wealth Management permission to make trades on your behalf, but they don't actually have access to withdrawing the money. The reason you want a custodian is because at any time you can call the custodian, Charles Schwab, and fire your managers. Fire us, right?
Yeah.
So you want that ability. And yeah, there's a huge, huge regulation, huge corporate structure behind our firm.
And so I think they're just wrapping up too. So we talked about a little bit about that back office. And then, you know, helping clients know that they can feel free to come and share with us, and there's no pressure at all for sales. And then,
I pray every day for my business. My prayer is that God will send the people that need me and, you know, keep everyone else at home. So I love what I do. And I'm very passionate about what God has given to me. And I have my faith. My faith is in the Lord. I don't need to pressure people. I don't need to be a salesman. I don't need to feel worried about the money. And I think that comes through in the room with me. People know that they're free to work with me if they so choose.
Right. And our office is the end of Monterey on Ocean Boulevard, the four-story Seacoast building.
Yes. Yeah, we're in Stuart. We can meet you online or over the phone, and we can certainly come to visit you as well. So this is the Mindy Maloney Show, Mindy Molina Show. Thank you, Frank, for the interview. And remember, God loves you, and there's nothing anyone can do about it. Thanks for listening. Join us next week. And remember, if you have any concerns about your financial picture, please reach out to us at 561-729-2778. There's a no obligation consultation. All you have to do is text or call 561-729-2778. Or you can reach us on our website at www.mindymolina.com. Mindy Molina Investments and Insurance has been protecting the retirement of families for 15 years. Information provided by Mindy Molina Investments and Insurance and or its affiliates are for informational purposes only and is not intended to be relied upon as a forecast, research, or investment advice, and is not a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any securities or to adopt any investment strategy. Get your financial report at 561-729-2778. Or you can reach us at www.mindymolina.com.
darkness tries to roll over my bones. When sorrow comes to steal the joy I own. When brokenness and pain is all I know. I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. My